You may have a seat. Welcome to each of you. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all that are mothers. And even as we were spending time in prayer this morning, I was reminded that we have earthly physical mothers and we want to thank God for them. But there's also those that maybe you're not a mother, but you're a spiritual mother to somebody. And I want to point out what an important role that is. And thank you for the role that you play in other people's lives. This is an interesting Sunday. I was talking a couple of years ago with a seasoned, wise old pastor, and he was talking about Mother's Day and Father's Day and talking about the unique challenges that they can pose. And he's talking about Mother's Day, and he said that the challenge with Mother's Day is that within the first 2 minutes or so, you start to lose all the men. And I said, well, explain that a little bit. So, you know, Mother's Day is all flowers and rainbows, and we're commending all the women for the great roles that they have in our lives, and we're thanking God for them and how awesome and beautiful and wonderful they are. And about 2 minutes in, you start to lose all the guys because they say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not beautiful. I don't have, like, flowers and rainbows, and I'm not good. So all that stuff kind of doesn't apply, so the guys start thinking about mowing the lawn and all the other things that they have to do later on in the day. And I said, I kind of interrupted him. I said, so I guess the reverse is true on Father's Day, too. And he said, no. He says, on Father's Day, it's actually the women that are saying amen the loudest. Because they're saying, go get them, Pastor. I've been saying this for 40 years. So there is a unique challenge in preparing a sermon for a day like today. Because there's three goals in mind. And I want you to follow me along with these three goals. The first goal is that it's all about God. In the face of everything that we're doing, as we honor our moms, as we thank God for the mothers in our lives, and I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for the mothers in my life. We need to make it special for them, but first and foremost, we honor our Lord. First and foremost, it's all about God. It's all from His Word, and we don't elevate any person, however wonderful they are, we don't elevate any one person over the author of life itself. So the first goal is that we have plenty of focus and direction on God and God alone, that we focus and honor Jesus in the midst of what we're doing. The second goal is that we do honor the moms in our lives, that we do take a moment and focus on God's plan for mothers. Because we're in the midst of a time in our life where people might cringe at the statement that men and women have different and distinct and separate roles. Unfortunately, we're in a time in our lives, in a season, where those kind of things just aren't politically correct. It's just not nice to say moms anymore. You gotta say, like, birth person or something. No. God created man and woman in His image, with distinct and separate roles for a reason. And the reason why God did this is because He knows a whole lot better than we do. And because God did this, He did this incredible thing. And there's so much beauty in these distinct roles. There's so much incredible, I lose words for how awesome it is that God, in His infinite wisdom and power, created moms to be moms and dads to be dads. A family needs a mom. And so we're thanking God for that, and we're standing true on that biblical truth. So that's the second goal. First is we look to God and honor Him and make it all about Jesus. The second is that we do celebrate God's plan in giving us mothers. And the third is that we don't lose everybody else in the midst of that. Because as you're talking, you're saying, okay, you're past 2 minutes. I'm about to check out, guys. No, hang in there. Because in the midst of everything that we're talking about today, I am convinced that there's something for every single one of us here today and watching online. There's something for each and every one of us. We'll start at the simple fact. Raise your hand if you have a mom. Okay, right? It doesn't matter if maybe she's gone, maybe she's in heaven. The fact is, every single one of us came from a mom, all right? So we have all that in common. But beyond that, even if you're sitting here, you're a guy, or maybe you're a single lady that wishes you were a mom, or maybe you're just a kid and you're listening in, and you're just thinking about the presents dad made you buy for mom. Whatever it is, you're sitting here, and we're going to open up the Bible. And because we're going to open up the Bible, that means that there's something in it for each and every single one of us. So as we look at these godly examples of women who are great, great moms, there's going to be something that every one of us can pull from it and apply to our own lives. But I wanted to lay out that little outline, those three goals for us, so that we know where we're going, we know what we're trying to accomplish, and that nobody checks out on me, okay? Let's open up to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to look at the godly impact, the eternal impact of some godly women. And there's specifically four women that we're going to look at just briefly throughout our time this morning. But as we read 2 Timothy, we'll just start in verse 1. It says this, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." We'll just stop right there. What a neat intro. This is a letter. This is a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy, and this is one of Paul's last letters that he writes here on earth. And what a neat greeting. How do we greet each other today? Hey, what's up? I can't tell you how many times I've said to somebody, hey, what's up? And they say, good. Right? We're just used to that. We're used to saying, how you doing? Right? How you doing? Good. What's up? Good. Oh, wait, no. But what a great greeting. And let's not run past that. Paul, he's talking about the life that he has in Christ Jesus. He, again, putting that first and foremost, that is prominent, talking about Jesus and the reason why he has life, the reason why he has eternal salvation, and the reason why he's writing Timothy. And this is one clue we have here in verse 2. To Timothy, my beloved child, Paul is not Timothy's earthly father, but we have clues here in Timothy and other places that Paul is writing and addressing and talking about Timothy. It seems that although Paul is not Timothy's earthly father, there is a special connection that Paul and Timothy have. It's almost as though Paul is Timothy's spiritual father. So we know that Timothy, the man that Paul is writing, the young man that Paul is writing right here, we know that he has a Jewish mother and a Greek father. We know that because of passages in Acts. But we don't hear too much about the father, and it's assumed that Timothy's father passed away earlier on in his life. And so that brings three people that are very special in Timothy's life and have a huge impact on him. The first, as we're talking about right now, is Paul, who becomes somewhat of a spiritual father to Timothy. But we're going to hear about these two other very special people in Timothy's life. Verse 3, "I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well." What a neat statement right there. So we are introduced to these two other people that had incredible impacts on Timothy's life, Lois and Eunice, his grandma and his mom. And thinking about that background I just gave you of Timothy, his Jewish mom, his Greek dad. Dad doesn't seem to be in the picture all that much. But we have grandma and mom who, Paul says, a faith that first dwelt in your grandma Lois. It's kind of neat to think about that legacy that is formed right there. There's Lois. She has a great faith in God, and she passes that on to her own daughter. And her daughter there, in turn, passes that on to Timothy. And Lois and Eunice, they have this neat impact, both of them together, on Timothy's life. And here's the cool thing. It's not as though they knew, okay, we really need to pour into this kid because one day he's going to be Timothy. You know, the Timothy of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. They may have that in mind. They didn't say, oh, we got to pour into Timothy because he's going to be this great young pastor. He's going to be this guy that Paul pours into and that becomes pastor of the church in Ephesus. They didn't know that. They were just simply being faithful. They were just simply being grandma and mom. This faith that first dwelt in your grandma Lois and your mom Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. The neat lesson just from these couple of verses is that the faith that we can have, we have an ability to pass that faith on. Whether that is with someone who is our biological child or someone who is not. Maybe there's an adoption. Maybe there's just simply someone who we take under our wings. The neat thing is that we can have an eternal impact and we don't even know what God will do with that faithfulness. Thinking about these two women who had a faith that they didn't just keep to themselves. They had a faith that they couldn't help but pass on. This faith that it was just so explosive, so contagious. It started with Lois and her daughter grabbed onto that faith. And then Timothy grabbed onto it as well. Verse 6 says this in verse 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear but of power and of self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his purpose, his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Thinking about that legacy. Thinking about being a part of God's plan, a part of the things that God has for us and for those who come behind us. That's special, isn't it? You may be sitting here and you may be sitting and thinking about your own grandmother, your own mom. I'm going to guess that there's two narratives that are happening in various people's minds right now. Either you had a sweet and wonderful, awesome grandma and mom who did just like Lois and Eunice, teach you that faith and lead you to the Lord, and you can stand here and you can say, I am the product of a good legacy. I am the product of generations who have been faithful and devoted to God. And you can stand and you can rest in that. And you can thank God for that. Thank God for grandma. Thank God for mom and the roles that they played in your life. The other narrative that possibly is going around in somebody else's mind is you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Sitting and you're thinking, well, I'm glad that other people had that, but I didn't quite have that. So where do I go from here? What do I do now? Well, as we think about verse 14 of chapter 3, Paul's talking about those that are giving into the flesh. Paul's talking about those that are doing evil. He starts out verse 14 and says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. There's that shout out to grandma and mom again. Knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul, he's reminding Timothy of his upbringing. He's reminding Timothy of mom and grandma. And he's reminding him that it was through a great acquaintance with the sacred writings, the scriptures, that this faith came. So again, I go back to that question I left right before we read this verse was, what if you're sitting here and you're saying, wouldn't that be nice? I don't have that legacy. I don't have a mom and a grandma who are faithful to the Lord. What about me? Well, I got to read the first couple of verses of verse 14 again. But as for you, There's a comma there, and Paul goes on. But I want to focus on that for a moment. But as for you. Doesn't matter what your background was. Doesn't matter what your upbringing was. You have a choice. You have a decision to make. Will you be faithful to God? Will you jump into His Word and obey Him and trust Him and believe in Jesus? Or will you go the way of those before you? Legacy is important. How you act today impacts someone else's tomorrow. That's a really, really key phrase that I like to think about a lot, is how I act today. It will impact my own tomorrow, but it certainly will impact somebody else's as well. And Paul, he goes on, and we see throughout these verses, in verse 14 and 15, that Lois and Eunice, they had this really great love for the Scriptures. They had this really neat desire to teach Timothy the Scriptures, the Old Testament. And Paul's saying, remember what you learned. Remember the Bible. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would sit down and she'd read the Bible to me. And we'd read something from the Old Testament. We'd read something from the New Testament. We'd read a psalm. And I'm gonna be honest with you and with her if she's watching. I don't really remember everything that she said. I'm sure that the word is hidden in my heart. I know that she trained me up well, but I don't remember which verses she read and which ones she didn't. I remember some of the Old Testament stories she was reading. I go, whoa, that's crazy. But what I do remember is my mom reading the Bible to me. I do remember that example she set from an early age. I do remember that she cared enough about the Bible that she thought it was something important for me to listen to know. So I thank God for her. And if you have a mom who did that, you better be thanking God for her as well. And if you didn't have a mom that did that, then you better be the mom who starts to do that. Because verse 16, it says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We recognize that right here, right in the middle of looking at the Scriptures, that's how we are trained for righteousness. That's how we grow closer to God as we listen to His Word. So moms and grandmas, don't stop being faithful. Don't stop reading the Bible to your kids and your grandkids. Kids and grandkids, just listen. It's good. And fathers, husbands, when the mom or your wife does that, you thank God for her. You encourage her. That's an eternal impact that a godly woman can have. There's a couple other passages I wanted to run to today. And we're looking at two women and their unique and incredible responses to God and to the gift of their children. The first woman that we think about is Hannah. Hannah had been wanting years and years and years. She had been praying for years for God to give her a child. She was barren. She'd been praying, Lord, would you give me a child? Her husband was like every other man on this planet. And when she had been asking, Lord, give me a child. I'm so sad. I need a child. Her husband said, aren't I enough? Aren't I worth 10 sons to you? Yeah, ladies, it's been this way forever. I'm sorry. But when she finally has Samuel, let's listen to her first words about this incredible gift that she has of a child. You ready? Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. What was her first, where did she run to first? What was her first thought? Oh, my sweet baby boy, he's so wonderful. I'm sure that was there, but what did she say first? All the praise, all the glory. it goes to God. My heart exults in Him. I'm focused on Him. And therein lies, now, okay, I'm a guy. I'm not a woman. I am not a mom. All right? It's pretty obvious. Again, today you need to state that, but it's pretty obvious. So, because I do not have any experiential knowledge here, some people may say that I have no standing in which to say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say, because I'm holding the Word of God, I have an ability and even an authority to be able to say what I'm about to say. So, you ready for this? If you want to be a good mom, you focus on God first. If you want, that applies to everything. If you want to be a good dad, you focus on God first. But if you want to be a good mom, you got to focus on God first. There's another thing my sweet mom taught me. She would always say, Joshua, I love you so much. But two things are also true. God loves you more than I even love you. And I love God more than I love you. Those are important things for a kid to hear. You want to be a good mom, you got to start looking at God first. My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in Him. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. She continues on, and the whole prayer is about God. The whole time she is talking and celebrating this baby, this child, Samuel, who she's been praying for years to have, her focus is on the Lord. Her eyes are fixed and focused on God, right where they need to be. And we have a New Testament example of this as well. In Luke chapter 1, we have another mother. This is an interesting situation. Mary, she is the earthly mother of Jesus, the Son of God. She became pregnant in some strange and interesting circumstances, a virgin. And yet God showed favor on her. And this is what she has to say. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Pretty neat that both Hannah and Mary, their first response was to magnify God. Their first response was to look to Jesus, to look to their Lord. The first response was to say, I am God's. And He has shown favor to me, and I will not take my eyes off of Him. So once again, I gotta say, if you want to be a good mom, you need to keep your eyes fixed and focused on the Creator of life. It's really interesting. It's really incredible as we look at these examples. As we look at Hannah and Mary and Lois and Eunice, what did they all have in common? What made them good moms? They loved the Lord. They loved God. And as we think about the eternal impact that a good and godly mother can have, we need to recognize the only impact that any of us could have, it needs to come from above. As we live our lives, as we live faithfully. Hannah, I got to go back to her because it's such a neat and interesting example. After she prayed this prayer, when she's focusing on God, this child who she had loved and prayed for and longed for, who for years her heart had been broken because she wanted this child. After she prayed this prayer, after she had weaned Samuel, you know what she did? She gave him back to God. She dedicated him and brought him and allowed him to serve in the temple. And Samuel became Israel's greatest and final judge. A judge and a prophet nonetheless. Because of Hannah's faithfulness. She did this incredible selfless act. She could have said, thanks God, I'm glad I have this child now. I'm going to go and do what I want. I'm going to raise him. I'm going to just hold him. I'm going to squeeze him tight. I'm never going to let him go. But Hannah recognized that Samuel was a gift. And in order to best use that gift, she needed to give that gift back. And the other thing I would say is that, moms, your children are a gift. They're a gift from God, the giver of life, the one who knit them together in your womb, the one who knew them before you even knew them, the one who, believe it or not, loves them more than you even love them. And the greatest thing that you can do for your children is to give them back to the Lord. The greatest thing you can do for any person that you have any influence over is to be faithful and give them back to God. And as us humans, that's kind of difficult, isn't it? But it requires a whole lot of trust, a whole lot of faith. So moms, if you have a difficult child that you're dealing with right now, I want to encourage you, give them back to God. If you are struggling right now because maybe you've gone through some difficult seasons lately, I want to encourage you to trust God with your child, because guess what? He loves your child more than you could ever possibly love them. If you're a single lady, or maybe you're a couple and you're struggling and you want to have a kid, I got to remind you, God is faithful. Oh my goodness. It's Mother's Day, right? I can do that. God is faithful, and his timing is perfect. And us guys, this is typically saved for Father's Day, but I'll save it now. Guys, you got to step up. Because, yeah, I'll say it now. I'll say it again Father's Day. But things get really messy when guys shirk their responsibilities. Things get really messy when a father doesn't fulfill his role. And you know what happens? Is that these great, oh my goodness, Lord, help me. It's that these great and awesome women in our lives, they step up. And they do what's necessary. So guys, it's Mother's Day, but you get it twice this year. Step up. Do what you need to do. And moms, don't forget to be faithful. Don't forget that the Lord loves your child more than you ever could. Don't forget that you need to teach your child to love the Lord more than you. I'm thankful for these women. I'm thankful for Lois and Eunice, for their faithfulness, for reading their Old Testament scriptures to young Timothy. I'm thankful for that, because Timothy had a huge impact, right? I'm thankful for Hannah, a story of a barren woman who God blessed. In the midst of God's blessing, she turned right around and handed Samuel back. I'm thankful for Mary. She was not perfect. She was not divine. She was just a young girl who found God's favor and was willing to be used by God. There's a lesson in each of these stories for every single one of us. We thank God for the moms in our lives. We do everything we can to support them, to love them, to care for them. And each and every single one of us, we recognize that our impact on people's lives, that eternal impact, it starts today. So this is a message, this is a lesson for each and every one of us. It applies to all of us. What you do today matters. Think about that the next time you open up your mouth. Think about that the next time you act. Think about that the next time you think. What you do today, it really, really matters. And you have no clue who that is going to impact. So be careful. Be wise. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Remind each and every one of us that what we do today, it really does matter. We thank you for the moms in our lives. We pray that we would honor them and respect them and support them. We pray for those in our lives who wish to be moms but aren't. Lord, would you comfort them, and would you use us to comfort them as well? Lord, we thank you for your great wisdom in creating moms and dads. Let us not run away from that. Let us not compromise. Let us hold true to your truth, to your word, and the plan that you have had from the very beginning for each of us. Lord, would you bless our families? Would you grow us closer together, and would you grow us closer to you as well? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.